what's a man to do? Oh, baby, I'll sacrifice for you. I'll even do wrong for you. Oh, baby.
All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And Sandy, Social Security and Medicare, third rail. Nobody wants, I mean, they want to talk about it, excuse me, but not really. So I was saying, more than 10,000 people turn 65 every day in the United States. 10,000.
Happy birthday.
Turn 65. It's not just that that's an alarming number. It means that those people are on Medicare.
Well, they're
for the majority of
Medicare
them will be in Medicaid.
Medicare and Social Security. Yeah, and right. So, you know, the whole problem that we've run into is that the people who work and pay taxes are paying for
a system.
For the retirement benefits, the Medicare and Social Security benefits that the people who have retired are now receiving. And back in the day, you know, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, the number of people working was a number far larger than the number retired. But as the baby boomers have come to retirement, we've suddenly changed that fraction. So if you looked at a fraction and the numerator was the number of people working and the denominator was the number of people retired, that fraction has gotten far smaller to the point where, you know, it's approaching, you know, 1-to-1 almost. But no matter what that number is, it gets harder and harder from a financial standpoint to support the cost of the retired people who are all receiving defined benefits, right? We have a defined benefit program. That's what Social Security is. We know how much we're going to get each year. And so the people who are working have to come up with it. And so the FICA tax we have is the way we pay for it, along with the premium, the health insurance premiums that people on Medicare might pay. And that FICA tax is only now subject to being paid by the people who earn income up to $400,000. And so, you know, there are ways to look at this. And the problem is that when the Republicans who are willing to talk about it, they talk about it without any specificity, leaving the world to worry about whether they're talking about eliminating benefits. And of course, the people who are on benefits, who are looking forward to benefits, understand that the benefits we receive are pretty spare. You know, you're not living the life of Riley on Social Security, and Medicare is a vital kind of, and it only pays 80% of medical costs. So it's a vital kind of a benefit. And so if we're going to be left to worry about whether that's going to be eliminated or reduced, that's a political third rail. On the other side of the coin, the Democrats simply say, we aren't even going to talk about it. It's sacred. But we do have to talk about it because we have to figure out how we're going to handle at least the funding of the benefits that are being paid. And France, of course, what France is going through right now is a bit of an echo of what we've already done. You know, what they're doing now is simply increasing the retirement age so that decreases the numbers of people who are retired. It decreases that population and increases the population of those who will be working by the cohort that are in that two-year period, 63, 64.
You know, Sandy, and this has been kicked down the road for so long, because somebody had to see this when you're in my generation, the baby boomers, when we were all working, and that equation wasn't so bad at the time because we were all.
Well, we've done it somewhat. So, you know, we've increased retirement age, you know.
Ronald Reagan did.
Yeah, so we increased the retirement age, same thing that Macron has just done in France. And we've done some other things. We've increased the amount of the FICA, the amount of income that's subject to payment of the FICA tax. But these are all things that are not painful to the people receiving the benefits. I mean, it might defer the benefits, but what really is sacred, and I think it is sacred in a third rail, is the notion of reducing retirement benefits or Medicare benefits because they're not very generous.
To people who are already on it.
Yeah, well, even to those who are looking forward to it, because the 401k program has not proven itself to be enough, right? So if you don't have anywhere near enough Social Security, and if what we're saying is everyone just has to finance their own retirement, you know, the Wall Street Journal yesterday just carried an article that said that a significant percentage of people earning $100,000 or less are living paycheck to paycheck. I mean, like almost all of them. Only 18% of the country, it said, earns more than $100,000 a year. So 82% of the people are living paycheck to paycheck. You can't save for your retirement if you're living paycheck to paycheck. So if we have a universe of workers in this country, 82% of which are living paycheck to paycheck, they won't have money for retirement other than Social Security, okay? And so the notion of gutting Social Security benefits is going to be it's a dead end. It's something the country can't tolerate.
So let's do this. Let's bring in Paul from Waukesha. Good morning, Paul. How are you? Thank you very much for the call. You say what? You say what?
How are you?
I'm fine.
Yes. I'm a little ways off from retirement, and I don't know. I don't know if I'll get it. You know, who knows?
You don't know. You don't know if you'll get what? Social Security?
Social Security. You know,
how old are you? How old are you,
54.
Man? 54. Oh, 54.
54.
Okay.
Yeah. And they keep talking about, you know, the problems with Social Security, that it's going to be insolvent and this and that. But anytime anyone seems to mention it, let's say, I'm just going to say Ron Johnson because I know he's talked about Social Security. And you always hear them say, oh, the Republicans want to do whatever to Social Security. And but yet here you guys are talking about basically, from what I gather, I could be wrong, the same issues that they're talking about.
In a different
manner.
Something
needs to be done with this.
Well, I mean, I think we're talking about the fact that in reality, yes, something has to be done, but what has to be done is on the funding side.
Not privatizing.
Not privatizing it, because privatizing it, that was the 401k movement, right? That was the George Bush II answer.
Yes.
Yeah, and everyone does now understand that 401k, at the level that is allowed for deferred earnings and savings in the 401k, as well as the performance of the country in actually filling their 401k accounts, shows that it's not going to do the trick. So, we need to figure this out. It probably relates to higher taxes, which is not something Ron Johnson was ever talking about. It needs to be probably whether we continue to fund it discreetly like we do with FICA and simply say the FICA tax is now going to apply to any level of income or levels of income up to 800,000 or some number. There are answers to this that don't involve reducing benefits and putting people into a corner that from which they can't extricate themselves financially.
Hey, Paul.
Let's say I don't even make it to retirement age. Let's say I die before that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now I've been working since I've been 15 years old. I don't know how much I put into Social Security. Who knows?
They know.
You know. Where does that money go? I end up not getting it. Maybe my wife gets a portion of my Social Security. I don't know.
Your wife will get survivor Social Security benefits. One of the problems
if they're young enough.
One of the problems we have with Social Security, though, is we characterized it as if it was a pension fund, as in a private pension fund, as if we were creating a fund from which we would withdraw the money. And yes, an accountant could explain how that was what was going on, but that was never what was going on. We've always just funded Social Security with a tax. You know, the working people pay a tax, and the money that they pay goes out to retired people, and there has been a surplus in prior years, but the surplus wasn't put into an actual bank account. It was It was invested in treasury bonds, which was a way of essentially reducing the deficit that would otherwise have occurred by the government. So, you know, the problem
which
is,
were safe. The treasury bonds were safe.
Well, they were safe. It was a fiction, though.
Right.
They, you know, the government, it's like lending money from one pocket to the other. You don't have to do it. It's just an accounting entry. And so I know what you have a fellow who comes on who talks about
yes.
Social Security and would critique what I just said, but it's really kind of an auditing kind of a myth, an accounting myth. And the fact is that if you look at it pragmatically, you have to look at money in and money out. And what you know, Paul has justified in thinking the way he is because he thinks, well, I put a lot of money in, I'm not going to get it out. Well, what you did is you put in taxes, and we don't get our taxes back. And so I'm afraid the reality is that our Social Security payments, our FICA, is just another form of tax.
Hey, Paul, man, thank you very much for the call, as always, man. I appreciate it. We've got to go to a break, but I want to put this out before the listening audience. What are your thoughts on your 401k? Has it been successful to you? Those of you who have 401ks, do you feel as if that's been a great game changer for you and your families? 844-967-2789. I can tell you as somebody who, you know, had a 401k, not anymore. It was not as great as they let it out to be. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
Well, it was a game changer.
I'm going to get to look I called. I'm going to get you. And I'm going to make you love me.
Yes,
oh, oh.
Yes,
I'm going to make you love me. Ooh, oh, yes, I will.
Yes,
I will.
Yes, I will.
Come on and love
I'm
me.
I'm going to make you love me.
Ooh,
yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
Ooh, come on and love me.
I'm going to make you love me.
Baby,
yes, I will.
Yes, I will.
Hey, John.
Girl, I can't believe my ears. Are you really telling me goodbye?
All temptations all the time.
See, you're taking away my reason for living, and you won't even.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host Sandy Williams. And let's go to Judith from Milwaukee. We were talking about before the break your 401k and how you feel about it. Has it been all that you thought it would be? Again, 844-967-2789. Now's the time to join in, and we want to hear what you have to say. Hey, Judith, how you doing? Thank you very much for calling. You say what?
Well, thanks very much for listening to me. I appreciate your concern about the 401ks and so forth, but I think the real problem in this country is the CEOs. It's like we have, 27 billionaires or whatever it is, and they're sucking this country dry. That is the real problem. I have to agree with Joe Biden that they need to pay some tax on all that money that they're accumulating. Nobody needs that much money. They probably don't even know how to spend it, and they don't, probably. I don't know what they're doing, but it's just not right.
So you clearly are not one of those billionaires, is it safe to say?
Clearly not, no.
you know what? Are you close to Social Security?
I am on it, yes.
So what?
And I work long and hard for it, and so did my husband. And I'm saying, I mean, they are scaring the public, and they are, you know, do not value us, our contributions, and that we're all expendable. That's the way I think these CEOs think.
You know, Judith, thank you very much. What you have to say is important and valuable, and you've done a good job. You can call us anytime.
And there are 735 billionaires in the U.S. as of 2022. So would that there only be 29, but there are quite a few more than that. And it's a growing number as the stock market rises.
So, you know, Sandy, Judith remembers a time, and she talked about her husband, when it wasn't the way it is now, and there wasn't that big a chasm between the average family person and the wealthy. And that's grown. There's no question at all about it. And it's taken along with it, I think, the middle class.
Well, I think the problem is that during this long extended period after World War II, what's become apparent is that you can't get wealthy working, and you can get wealthy with assets. And so it's the asset-owning class that gets wealthy, the people who have stock and can invest their growing value of their stock in more stock. It's people with real estate. It's people with hard assets. And it's also people who get into companies and the company grows rapidly and they grow with it. And also, beginning at about 1985, there was this trend in the country to pay executives of corporations far more as compared to the average worker in that corporation than they used to get paid. And although those people were not getting paid in cash, they were getting
stock
paid
options.
In stock options and stock grants, which gave them assets, which provided them the opportunity to accumulate wealth, not off their own sweat, but off of the accumulation and value of assets. And so, you know, that's the way it works. And what the problem is that the salaries of people have not kept up, and the business model in America has changed, and the globalization as well, coupled on top of that, has resulted in our workers now being in a far different position. Not having health benefits at work, an increasing number of our workers are in that position, whereas Judy and others who were working, I'm sure, had health benefits from work, and that isn't the case today. And so we've just changed the environment in this country quite a bit, and one of the ways we've changed it is by making the safety net that is not available to our workers a much bigger wound. Because now almost all of our families have two workers. They need child daycare, but they have to pay for it. It's expensive. They work places where they don't get health care benefits. Now they have to pay for it. It's very expensive, and it's a problem.
And you know, Judith, it was better for you and I than it's going to be for our grandchildren. That's the sad part of all of it. You know, Social Security and Medicare is there for you and I right now. Not so sure it's going to be there for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren.
Well, I think what we need to do is have everyone think about it. Instead of sweeping it under the rug, what we need to do is think about all the ways we can make sure that we can assure that it will be available for our children and grandchildren. And, you know, I think that's what the sort of the liberal movement would like to say, but I think it would be more credible to people like the callers that have come in who doubted it will be available, if we were taking the steps right now that could be seen as being sure that it will be available.
Got to go to a break. Judith, thank you very much for the call. Lou from Cudahy, hang on. We'll be right back.
Listen, baby, I don't know what it's gonna take.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number, it's Friday. That means Fridays with my co-host, Sandy Williams. And we are talking about Social Security and Medicare and where we are with that. And so our phone lines are open again at 844-967-2789. I asked the question about your thoughts on, 401k and how has that worked for you? Let's go to the phone lines and Lou from Cudahy. Good morning, Lou. What do you say?
Good morning. I get the Wall Street Journal every day and I read it. The average degradation or loss of value for 401ks is down about, they lost about 23 to 30% because of the Biden inflation that's put in place.
Because of because of what?
Because of Biden's inflation, Joe Biden's inflation he brought about, and the which is an extra tax on all of us. The degrading of 401ks that shouldn't be, and that's why I think it's dangerous to put Democrats and put in charge of anything that has to do with fiscal responsibility.
So let me ask you: so the, was the 401k created by Democrat or Republican?
Who's in the White House?
I hear what you're saying. You're saying the stock market's gone down that much. The stock market's kind of bopped around. It's still over 30,000. And the issue with respect to fiscal prudence, I don't think we want to get into that discussion, Lou, because I think if you look at deficits, the deficit level as between Republicans and Democrats over a long period of time, the track record isn't very good as far as Republicans are concerned. The track record isn't very good as far as Washington is concerned. We have deficits. We had a Vietnamese war that we paid for with deficits instead of a war tax. We had both Afghanistan and Iraq, which were huge drains of money, but we didn't increase taxes. We decreased taxes, and we increased the deficit. And deficits are an extremely inflationary thing, whether they operate on an inflationary basis. In the first year they occur or later, they are a problem. And so, and if we were really going to address fiscal austerity today, we would also be talking about tax increases. We reduced the revenue, the budget the revenue that the Treasury was getting in a material amount with the tax decreases that occurred under the Trump administration. And so if we want to restore fiscal austerity, one of the things we could and should be talking about, as well as tightening our belts, would be increasing the revenue stream.
Well, so, and as a guy who had a 401k from the onset when they first created 401ks, long before Joe Biden and inflation, it didn't turn out the way many of us thought when we decided to add those 401ks to what we were doing.
Well, I think the problem, one of the problems with 401ks is that, yes, if you do it over the life of your working period, you end up with sort of a laddered portfolio. You get into it year by year. But first of all, the amount that people can put into a 401k
is not enough that's going to lift them.
Well, they have to have enough money to forego the cash in the year they put it in. And in today's world, like I said, the Wall Street Journal that Lou reads every day reported that an extensive percentage of people who earn $100,000 and less are living paycheck to paycheck, which means they aren't funding their 401ks or can't. And we've already gone through the Wisconsin median income family, and it's very clear that they could not fund a 401k. They can't even buy a car. If they buy health insurance and pay for child daycare, they're done in terms of being able to put money aside. So I think the problem with a 401k, you could point at a point in time and say, well, the stock market's gone down. But the real problem with a 401k is it wasn't going to be enough for people to retire on absent Social Security.
So, Lou, the other thing that I would say to you, man, is it's not always Democrat and Republican. So the 401k is not the answer because of Joe Biden and inflation. It's because it just was not thought. I don't know if it was thought through enough, Sandy.
Well, conceptually, if you put enough into it every year, and if the stock market behaved just as you wanted, the problem is that you retire at a point in time, and the stock market might not be thriving when you retire. If you retired in 2009, you know, after the collapse of the stock market at the end of the Bush administration, you would have been hard.
Oh, yes.
You would have been in a real bad place.
Yeah, because
Well, the stock fell.
It was down to 7,000. The Dow Jones was a little less than 8,000.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, if you were relying on stock investments to retire and you retired in 2009, you were really in a tough spot, in a very tough spot. And so, the stock market's going to go up and down. It trends up in the long term and has since World War II. Hopefully, that's something you can still bank on. But even that is potentially less likely when you've got a stock market that hovers in the mid-30s.
Okay, Lou, anything else?
Yes.
What?
When Donald Trump left office, the inflation rate was somewhere between 1 and 2%. Then when Biden gets in there, it goes up to over 8, 9%. You know, facts matter. That is a fact of history.
I know, but Lou, when the second Bush left office, you know, stock market, again, the Dow Jones was under 8,000. When Barack Obama left, it was over 16,000. So you can't go by.
Well, and also connecting the dots that you want to connect, you have to plug into that the pandemic. You have to plug into that the shortage that was caused by the supply chain problems across the world as a result of the pandemic. You have to plug into that the war in Ukraine.
Yeah, it's not that
the
simplistic.
Issues. So, I mean, there's a lot of things, and we can all connect dots based on historical facts. But some of those dots, when you connect them incorrectly, come up with pretty crazy conclusions.
All right, Lou, thank you very much for the call. Really appreciate it. Let's go to Connie. Hey, Connie, how you doing? Connie from Waukesha. Hey, Connie. Do we have Connie on?
Yes.
All right, here she
Hello?
Is. Hey, Hi. How you doing, my friend?
Hey.
Long time no hear from.
Hi, Earl. Hey, I have a problem with people like Lou blaming Biden, blaming everyone else, blame. You know, I'm 58 years old. I'll never be able to retire. It's not going to happen. This year is the first year I stopped contributing to my 401k because I'm one of those people who are living paycheck to paycheck. And Lou, I've got news for you. Donald Trump did nothing for me. Nothing. I don't have that's great. The stock market, inflation, whatever. I'm formerly middle class. You know, this in 2005, the crap hit the fan for me, and I have not been able to recover. I don't have I'm single. I don't have a dual income. I don't think people realize how hard it is out there.
You know, Connie, you are a perfect example of what Sandy is talking about and what so many people fail to understand. You are saying clearly at your age that you don't see a way that you're going to be able to retire. That's got to be a horrific thought.
Well, I think also her fact circumstance puts the finger on a very important fact, which is many, many people in many, many families and many, many people in the United States secure comfortable middle class status because of being able to share joint earnings from two breadwinners in a family. And we have an increasing number of people in the United States living singly. And when you live singly, you are forced to, and the average income in the United States, the median income in the United States right now is $44,000. And so whereas the median family income is $75,000. That gives you the same fact that Connie just gave us. There's lots of people who are living singly. And if you live singly, $44,000 in any sort of metropolitan area in this country is paycheck to paycheck. And you have to forego a whole bunch of things in that, and you couldn't possibly fund a 401k with that income.
And let's say you own a home, which kind of you do, right?
Yes, I do.
Right. So, I mean, come on. There's just not a lot left.
No, and you know, and Connie, did you buy a home when you were a single earner, or did you is that a home a vestige?
I bought it when I was single. Yeah. I was doing very well in 2005 when Bush was in office. Everything went to heck. Mm-hmm. You know, and I have not been able to recover since then. And the 401k, that's nothing but a scam. It doesn't do you any good when the stock market crashes three times and you lose half of everything you have because it's impossible to earn it back. Or I should say, I don't even know if earn is the right word, but it's just...
Well, I think the...
You know, we need to stop blaming everyone else, and we need to start working together and a little more empathy towards other people and putting yourself in their shoes to see how the other half lives.
It is well said, Connie.
Absolutely.
Thank
well
you very
said.
Much for the call. I really appreciate it.
And I think politicians should spend much more time...
Listening to Connie's.
Well, right? With a blackboard, looking at the actual plight of people who live... in the circumstance of middle America and average America, because, like I said, only 18% of Americans earn more than $100,000 a year. And what's become clear is that if you live in a metropolitan area, $100,000 a year is not the gravy train. You know, people used to think if you earned that much, you were rich. The fact is that if you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're not rich. And you are not in a position to take care of the future. You're barely taking care of the present.
If you made $100,000 in 1975,
well, you were rich.
Yeah, right.
Well, that's a function of inflation. But
I know.
But today's world, because of the fact that health benefits have become quite expensive and have to be secured by an increasing number of people on their own. The world has changed. The social safety net that we don't have provided by the government, much of which used to be provided by our employer, pensions and health care, are no longer there.
So, look, there's only a handful of people who are ever going to be rich of the population. And so we need to stop looking at everything from the perspective of those people who are rich and who are going to be rich. And start dealing with the majority of the populace. And because if we don't fix that, I don't know how the nation can remain strong or solvent,
mm-hmm.
right? Because I don't see anything in the coming future, Sandy, that there's going to be this miraculous change for all of those people who are, you know, struggling to make it up the ladder. And I'm not talking about to become rich, but to be able to live just a comfortable middle-class life.
Well, I keep coming back to this because it's kind of an epiphany I had several years ago looking at it. But the way America has changed is that we're asking middle America to pay back their education debt from a prior time, to try and save money for the education for their children in an environment in which education is getting more and more expensive. We're asking them to pay for health care insurance when that used to be part of the benefits that almost all of them got at work. We're asking them to pay for child daycare because it used to be that middle America had one breadwinner and the other part of the household was staying at home and caring for kids. So we've changed the way middle America lives. We've changed their whole expense profile. And we should understand that if they lived in a country like Germany that was providing the social safety net that is provided there, our workers could and would be comfortable. And I know we're going to be talking later about taxes, but I'm confident that if business was thoughtful, they would realize that they should be fighting for that social safety net so they could continue to pay wages that they are currently paying to a workforce that then could be comfortable and not afraid of the future.
All right, got to go to a break. Phone lines are open as always at 844-967-2789. You too can join the conversation. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Friday. It's Fridays with Sandy Williams. You know, Sandy, to hear the average people, which is what we hear on our radio show and on this radio station, the people who are listening are the everyday people. It doesn't matter what side of the equation they're on, but what they all know and what they all have in common is something's not right, and it's not getting better, whether there's a Democrat or a Republican in office. It's just not getting better for the common person. And you know, I remember when I first met you, you were talking about our country doesn't plan, and we don't have a plan. And when you see 10,000 people turning 65 every day, and there's not a plan in place to address that, when are we ever going to get to that point, Sandy? It's not going to be, we can't luck up and get out of this situation, can we?
Well, I think it's because we are willing to not look at reality. We have our heads in the sand. We kick the can down the road. There's every kind of platitude you can apply to what it is we do. But what it is we don't do is we don't do self-examination, and we don't do lessons learned from the past. You can see that with bank failures. You can see it. And we don't address things head on. And it's because politically, if you can duck a problem that might cost you a vote or two, that's what you're going to do. You're going to duck it and let it be handled tomorrow after you get reelected. And so, you know, I think what's wrong today is that, like Connie that called in or Judy that called
right.
in, people today in middle America are living desperate lives, but they're living them quietly. A lot of people, when you live desperately, you don't explain it to your friends and neighbors. You don't understand that you're in a boat with a lot of people. And what we need to do is for these people to let their politicians know just what it's like to live in middle America today so that we solve for it, because we're not taking steps to solve for it.
All right, let's go to Mary. Hey, Mary, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. So my takeaway from this is the conservatives are promoting are replacing the Social Security system with investing our futures, our retirement, in the 401k industry. Not a good idea. Is that correct?
Well, I'm not sure that they're currently talking about expanding 401k. They did that under the Bush administration, and there was a wave of kind of hysterical optimism about the notion that, gosh, maybe we can actually get rid of Social Security and replace it with this whole private investment formula. And certainly Wall Street was very enthusiastic about that possibility, because it was going to lead to trillions of dollars of investment for portfolios that heretofore don't exist, that were going to be created out of this pretax. I don't know what the problem with what's going on about Social Security now is there are some Republicans who would talk about getting rid of it, but they don't talk about how they're going to replace it. And there are some Republicans who simply say we've got to do some stuff about it, leaving open the question of whether they want to play with benefits or whether they want to play with funding. We have some Democrats who are simply unwilling to talk about it, and then we have some Democrats who are willing to talk about it and do talk sensibly about revising funding, like, for instance, increasing the level of income that is subject to the FICA tax enough to adequately fund. So I think what's happened here is we've got our head in the sand. We're not willing to talk about it. We're all left to imagine.
Mary?
Yeah, I thought that the current message we're hearing, you know, especially from our Senator Ron Johnson, is that we should, you know, just get rid of Social Security and replace it with 401k, you know, and anybody who has any sense in their head, not a good idea.
Hey, Mary, thank you very much for the call, as always, my friend. I appreciate it. Charles from Green Bay, how you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
I'm doing really good. First of all, the $8 trillion that the the Congress and the United States government has stolen from Social Security over the past, you know, how many years since Reagan. And then, you know, and sure, it's been bipartisan, but it's been bipartisan because you either do it or we default. Well, right now we're working on a default. And also the fact of the matter is, in Wisconsin, back when Tommy Thompson was governor, he took $6 billion out of the state teachers' retirement fund, and a federal judge said, nope, you can't do that. That's not your money. It's not your money to take and use. You know, I paid into that Social Security for, you know, what, 65 years. And, you know, and I'm expecting to keep it. Also, the fact of the matter is, if you notice, and Mary made a good point, the Republicans have all these great ideas they want to do. Let's get rid of, you know, the Affordable Care Act. Let's get rid of this. Let's get rid of that. Okay, what are you going to do to replace it? You have to have a replacement before you can get rid of something. And yes, if you want to call the Affordable Care Act, there's problems with it. I had a brand new car. Something was wrong with it. It's under warranty. They fixed it. Don't dump something if it works, and then just, you know, fix it.
Hey, Charles.
Stop taking money out of the darn account. Hey, you have a good day. Keep up the good work.
Well said, man. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for the call. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we've got a great new segment that we're going to bring in. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. We're rolling.